Hi there, I'm Marianne Lozano, president of the Broadleaf Board of Directors and the conference chair for the 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference. This year, our conference will be held Saturday and Sunday, September 21st and 22nd at the Decatur Library in Decatur, Georgia. The 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference offers 2 days of panels, workshops, one-on-one pitch and mentoring sessions, a first pages critique, opportunities to meet and chat with our guest authors and literary agents, and plenty of time to spend with a community of fellow writers in attendance. We strive to attract top-level speakers, both with a track record of success in the industry, as well as those just beginning their careers, with the capacity and desire to help writers on their path to publication. This year, we're thrilled to be headlined by New York Times bestselling author Mary Kay Andrews. Registration for the 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference opens May 1st, so be sure to save the date. To learn more about our conference, I hope you'll visit our website at broadleafwriters.com. See you this fall.
Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of Right Now, a podcast on the craft and business of writing presented to you by Broadleaf Writers Association, based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Zachary Steele, and on today's episode, we're throwing back to one of our previous virtual programs with literary agent Eric Smith of PS Literary and Adam Sass, author of Surrender Your Sons and the 99 Boyfriends of Micah Summers. At the time of the recording, Adam was represented by Eric, which gave us a great opportunity to talk about the author-agent dynamic.
Wonderful to have you both here. I look forward to this conversation because not only are many of the questions that we get posed toward agents specifically, but there are a lot of questions we get that are about the agent and author dynamic. And as it happens, Eric is Adam's agent. And so we not only get just to have a general conversation, but we have to get to have a very specific one about the relationship that you two have and things that may or may not have happened between the two of you. And, you know, we'll see what we can cover and go from there. So welcome.
I think it sounds so dramatic.
This is our masterclass. Yeah. Can't wait.
All right. So we're going to launch right into this. Eric, one of the biggest questions I get is, what in the world does an agent do? Now, I don't mean that on a daily basis, sitting at home or in your office or, you know, dealing with kids or whatever it happens to be. I just mean, like, from the point of submission for an author to the point of publication, even then after. What exactly do you do, sir?
Yeah, well, I do feel like the assumption with agents is that, you know, it's an agent's job to sell your book, and that's it. But that's not really the case. You know, for the most part, an agent's job is, you know, after we've signed a client, we work with that author to help polish their book up and get it in the best shape possible. We're a little bit of an editor in that space, although most agents edit to sell, and I could talk a little bit more about that later, as opposed to developmentally edit. Not all of us can do that at all times. We work with our authors to figure out the best place for their book. So we work together developing submission lists, talking about what their dream ideas might be, where they think their book should belong, and, you know, share what we think in sort of our space as well. I don't know. I like to think it's a team effort in that space there. We handle the relationship with the author and the publisher. You know, we are there to you know, be a mediator if things are going poorly. You know, we keep an eye on things to make sure they're going right in the event the author doesn't know if they're going right or not. You know,
right.
We are there as experts in how the publishing industry works. So if the marketing plan doesn't look good or the librarian sales plan doesn't look good, we are there to have those discussions with the publisher and be the expert that the author needs.
Cool.
To me, it's always going well. I've never had any doubts.
just to kind of bottle that up into a little thing.
Filled with confidence.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, let's shift to the two of you and, like, the beginning, the budding beginning of a relationship. So Adam, you know, you had your book, your manuscript was written, and you did what writers have to do, which is you did your research on literary agents and you began to submit. So I would have to ask first, what was it about Eric that drew you to him, that made you say, I need to submit to this guy?
Well,
An answer could very well be, I just needed to submit. But
what I would say, if I took you through it sequentially, I've told this story many times before, but Eric actually did reject me and this book that he would later sell.
Shame.
And I just didn't take no for an answer. So you should, that's the lesson you should take from this. No.
We will come back to that point.
Yes, we will. So what I did was basically my, the process of getting Surrender Your Sons from first idea to the shelf, that took 7 years. From inception of idea to having Eric give me the offer call was 4 years exactly. And that was, I was brand new. I got my background is in screenwriting and film. I was in LA and I had no idea how publishing really worked. I was kind of stumbling around through Twitter or through manuscript wishlist, through it was a lot of trial and error. So this book like really was staggering out there, going to everybody. So it probably did not need to be as rejected as it was. I probably pushed out a very early version because I was like, well, I'm done writing it, so let's just go. But that was about 2014, but really the book as it is, it was like adult at one point. So really when it became close-ish to the thing was 2016. So really it was like 2 years of just madcapery. And then in 2016, I had been on Twitter for a few years. I had really been in the kind of community, like being fans of people, kind of following folks and, you know, in a nice way, not in a stalkerish way. And then I think, you know, and then Eric and his wife Nina were people who I enjoyed speaking to just casually about anything. I don't even know if we discussed books much. I think it was just, they were just people I enjoyed. And so most of 2016 was that. And then in 2016, I got into Pitch Wars and I thought that was going to be my ship coming in, and it was not yet. But it was during that period before Pitch Wars that I had submitted to Eric, and it was nowhere near ready yet. So it was one of those things where, I mean, it was a pass from him, a nice pass. And then I think that was in July, and then maybe a few months had gone by and I was really in the thick of it with Pitch Wars, revising it, getting it ready. And then out of the blue, Eric emailed me personally to just say, hey, still thinking of you and this book, and I don't even know if it was this book, but just, you know, thinking of you, please make sure you send me whatever is next. And it was such a, you know, match in a hurricane. It was a very, very important email. I don't, you know, I'll never be able to describe to Eric how important that was, because it really was during a time where like many things in my life, not just this book, were not going the way I had envisioned them. Basically, then I took, you know, Pitch Wars didn't go out. I took 2017 off to just gut renovate the whole book. Because I was basically, you know, because Pitch Wars is, for those of you who don't know, Pitch Wars, you have a manuscript, you submit it, and if you were selected, a mentor, who is usually a published author, it doesn't necessarily have to be published, but an author who's a little more seasoned will take you along through the process, give you notes, get it ready. And then a few months later, you go through, you know, like Pitch Wars, sort of like a, you know, kind of a debutante ball, a little unveiling. And then agents come through and they can like stuff and they can request stuff. And so that happened in November 2016, which was a great time for everyone. But so it was a troubled month. But we went through there and I had gotten a lot of requests, but it didn't end up proving out. And all the feedback came back the same, please remove the goofy superpowers from this book. If those of you did not read the Surrender Your Sons, the back end of it, it was this very serious issue, but then there was also sort of an X-Men vibe to it. It was very high-minded, but it was ambitious, but it did not work. And it kind of was the hat on a hat that kept it getting rejected. And then so I basically took 2017 off, renovated it, made it contemporary, no powers, just a regular thriller story, and got it ready. Took about a year. And then I was really worried because I knew I was going to submit it, but everybody online, in the book community is very much uniform and like, well, if they reject that book is done with that agent. Make sure you send them the next one, but make sure it's a new thing. And so I had all my writer friends and I was just like, I was like, gosh, I really, like really, really wanna, because Eric's email was still living in my head. And so I was like, gosh, I really, really wanna give this book to Eric, but he's already said no. And that's the rules. I'll be taken to author jail if I send it to him. So everybody just was like, you have a comfort level with Eric. He's already personally emailed you, just whatever, just do it. Just don't be weird if he says no. So I just kind of emailed Eric and I said, hey, Shot in the Dark, I'm out querying this book again. I took a year, completely renovated. It's basically kind of a whole new book. The log line is the same. The characters are the same, but like everything else is here. The powers are gone. This is gone. Really super want to give this to you, Shot in the Dark, if you want it. And he said, yeah. And then maybe 2 weeks later, he signed me.
Cool. Now, Eric, from your vantage, I'm sure Adam probably covered a lot of the reasons why you might not have taken it to begin with. But ultimately, what was it about the manuscript that you as an agent said, I want to represent this?
Oh, goodness. Well, once the powers were gone, it was so easy to get super grounded, in the world that Adam was writing. And that's what really does it for me with any book, whether it's contemporary or it's a big epic fantasy or sci-fi. It's that grounded moment where you get connected to the characters, you get connected to the world, and you feel like you can be there, And like, Adam is just so good at writing that like atmospheric, here's a really dark place, I'm gonna take you there, but also I'm gonna make you feel comfortable because here are some jokes, And like, he has this really unique style that, while it's absolutely magnificent, it also made the book very challenging. And I know Adam will talk about this more. Like, we got lots of editors when we got to that process that were like, this is too dark to be this funny, or this is too funny to be this dark. And I was just like, all right, you don't get it, fine. We're gonna keep going.
Your faith was like unbreakable in this book. Like, it was about another year of sub doing that, and your faith in that was still, please never tell me if that was all for show for my benefit, but it worked on me for real. So yeah, it was
good. And Adam actually knew kind of that the call was coming before I emailed him, because like my wife had tweeted like, here's a picture of Eric Smith being excited about Adam Sass, and like added him. I was like, oh, I haven't called him yet.
it was enough to be like, maybe if Nina had done that to like someone who was not so lived on Twitter, like I and read into every little moment. Like, that was one of those things where she didn't like outright say like, oh, the call's coming.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself. It was just like, hey, this agent who currently has your book for the last 2 weeks, is very excited about you. I'd be like connecting the dots very rapidly in the car as I got it. Yeah. It was great.
Well, how long? Okay, so since that came up, how long was the gap then? Did you feel like you needed to go ahead and call him right away? Or was there still a couple of days? And if there was still a couple of days, Adam, how did you sleep?
I didn't know. It was like I think very quickly I was like, oh my God, I think I had sent it to a few friends who kind of had, I sent it to Caleb Rarig and Phil Stamper, like who kind of who apparently had known this was kind of coming, because I think you had kind of like sneakily messaged them and been like, "Ooh, this is good. Like, I'm gonna, this is happening." And so I'm in a group chat with them, and then it was kind of one of those things where like communication was happening very rapidly amongst many people. So probably it only took an hour, and then I think we did arrange a call really quickly.
Okay. Obviously, this is a somewhat unusual road that you all took because of just specifics here. But Eric, I mean, what is there a normal time frame for you from the time you get a submission to the time you actually take on a client?
Oh, it depends. You know, like it depends on what life is like at any given moment. You know, like how busy am I at home? You know, how many clients do I have that need my attention first? You know, I have a couple of manuscripts in my queue that have been there for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months because I have clients that I have to read first, you know? But you know, I definitely have projects where like I'll read the book in a weekend and I'll call them the next day, you know, like those stories happen. So yeah. It varies so greatly. And I think that's the case for a lot of agents.
Just a timing thing then.
Yeah, I think the important takeaway from an author's point of view, like if you're querying an agent and they don't get back to you for like 6 months, or if they read it right away, I really wouldn't read into it good or bad either way. Like it really is about, it's really is details that are like fully out of your control. Because another time is like in this situation where Eric offered, I had about 10 other, you know, a handful of other people who still had it, and I had to give them ample enough time. And so usually a lot of agents, sometimes they'll have to reorganize their reading list because, okay, this author has an offer and I need to at least give it a fair shot to see if I can make that work. So, you know, your reading queue kind of like just jumps all over the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll jump into the signed author. You are now signed with an agent. And in this case, let's talk about eager writers. Let's go there. Adam, you are an eager writer. There's, you know, little doubt about that. You are all over the place and you do it very well. And you know, I mean, that you kind of a your own master class on how to promote yourself and everything like that.
Yes.
You strike me as the kind of person that is ready to jump in feet first the moment you get signed. And what was that like? Because I know, Eric, you're up against other clients, you're up against timing, you're up against the process. So was there any point in time where you had to just kind of say, Adam, just cool your jets, man?
I mean, I feel like that's constantly a push-pull if you have like a very eager writer. I think I've got really hyper eagerness, but also I think fundamentally I'm very aware and respectful of like, oh, Eric has other clients, or Eric hasn't taken a vacation in a really long time. Maybe he should do that, or anything. Yeah, and Eric is very communicative too. Like, so he'll say like, hey, this thing is sort of generally happening in me, you know, in my life right now. Maybe expect things to slow down a touch, but if something is an emergency, let me know. Like, I think that's kind of been the cornerstone, I think, of our healthy working relationship is if I, like case in point, Eric just came back from vacation the Monday he was back, he kind of communicated, he's like, hey, Monday I'll be back. I had like the biggest high maintenance email I've ever written, where it was like, here's a bulleted list across 3 different books and topics and this and that. But at the beginning I just said, I understand you're back from vacation, you have like literally thousands of emails, I just need for my own clarity to get this out, you bookmark this and return it in your own good time. So I think that's maybe kind of the, because you never know, because this thing, I don't want to assume Eric is too busy because he might not be busy or something. So I think just including a little sentiment of like, hey, feel free to return this in your own good time. That sort of thing helps a lot.
Yeah, good communication is just so important with the author-agent relationship. Like that's such a huge part of it, right? Like, as long as you're on the same level and you are respectful of each other, like the partnership works.
Well, I've recently been sort of peppered with the would you rather game question. And so I'm gonna pose that to you, Eric. Would you rather have an author that is over eager and perhaps a little high maintenance, or one that needs to be pushed?
Ooh. Probably over eager. Yeah. Cause like when it comes to publishing and when it comes to books, like you have to want it, right? And you have to want to be on a team with your agent, with your publisher, with everybody. And yeah, if an author needs like to be pushed too much and they don't want it, you know, like I don't know if it would work, you know. Like I would much rather have the overeager person than I have to just like reel back a little bit, you know. And you know, it's something all agents do. We manage expectations, you know, that's an important part of the job. That's I think that's what I want.
Yeah. But it seems the two of you have a very good working relationship, and I know in conversations we've had that we were talking about every relationship requires some level of compromise, that you really haven't had any major issues that have come up, but in general, have there been any moments where you had to give or take either one of you in working through this process?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, not that I'm aware of. No, I think if anything, as Eric said, I think I think I understand Eric very well, and I understand like the times and environments in which he's working best with me, you know, and kind of those sorts of things. So I try to kind of be like, ooh, the weather is right to push. Oh, the weather is right to back off. Like, cause I'm like left to my own devices, I will just keep going. but Eric's right. I mean, like it requires a ton of energy to do this job. A lot of self-starting. I know that's like on everyone's resume right now, whether they mean it or not, but like, it's a lot of kind of knowing what's, you know, cause that's the thing, is like, even the most like superstar rich client, like, can't like expect to have the agent be like, oh yes, like I'm here to, you know, I here we go, good morning, here's your schedule of things we need to do today. Like, especially because Eric is also an author, he's also a father of a very young child, a human being in this world no one likes right now, like there's things to consider. And so I think I get frustrated when I hear authors complain about their agents, like they need to get in there and do that. I was like, well, did you tell them this is what you needed? Or did you just like sit there and like hope they psychically knew that this is what you needed? And, you know, and a lot of times it's that, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, and authors can be very sweet, sensitive souls who are not comfortable being pushy or that sort of thing, and you know, and it, advocating for themselves is more of a challenge than it is for a monster like myself. So there's different things. So I think if you're someone who's maybe like a little more tentative, that is definitely a muscle that like work that out as much as you can, if you can, and, you know, and you know, kind of keep your expectations in check. But you know, yeah, if it's really important to you that, you know, I don't know. I don't know of many agents who would really do like all of the energy and then you just write the book. There is a little bit of I kind of call this, I don't know, like your business partners. Like you're selling a product together, you're entering into a business. And then when you get published, your editor kind of becomes another business partner. Like you're all sort of like growing this business kind of thing together. It's less of a, like the agent is doing something for you. It's just, it's a equity thing. So.
Well, again, it seems you guys have a great level of communication, which is if we were to give advice to writers, that seems to be the one thing: communicate your needs, communicate what you're looking for. But just in terms of your relationship, how often are you communicating? And does that vary depending on when the book was in submission with publishers versus now, where you already have a book out and you're working on second and thirds? Yeah, how often are you communicating?
Yeah, it definitely varies. You know, like when you're on submission, for all authors, I feel like the communication there is really up to them. You know, like some authors want to hear about every single pass and they want to know everything that's happened as it happens. And some don't want to hear from you until the book sells. You know, it's up to the author with what they want there. I feel like Adam and I, we were checking in probably, I feel like it was like monthly, maybe.
We do monthly. I think we do monthly regardless. I think if just, even if it's like, sometimes, you know, during the winter, it was like, nothing to report. You know, it was just like, same old. Yeah, I think it definitely varies. You know, it's sometimes it's going to be really heating up. And yeah, I think on the Surrender Your Sons submission, it was my first time. So I was really curious and I really wanted to get in there and feel it all. You know, and then, you know, we've got some stuff coming up where, you know, depending on what I know about submission now and, you know, the state of mind I'm in, I might just be like, hey, I have a whole bunch of books to write. I don't know if I can handle like the news coming in so fiercely. Maybe, you know, maybe that might be a different pace. I think, yeah, like Eric said, it's just really pick your own pace. And you can obviously change it all the time. If you're like, yeah, give it to me. Give me all the passes. And like, you get like one and it's just like shredding. You're just like, wait, hold on. Actually, no passes. Don't tell me anything. Yeah.
And I do actually want to talk about like editing and revisions and things like that. But I also want to get to a couple of questions that we have. And the first one is, and I assume this is probably for you, Eric, it doesn't specify, but what is your advice on when to ask for an update after sending your work off to an agent, or if that's even recommended?
Oh, it's totally recommended. I would look at what the agency's submission guidelines say. You know, it might say something like, we'll get back to you in 6 to 8 weeks. If we requested your manuscript, we'll get back to you in 2 to 3 months. You know, it'll say something there. If it's been a little bit longer, or it's, even if it's been exactly what that submission date is, follow up, send a nudge. It's totally okay to do that. I feel like a good percentage of an agent's job is doing those nudges to editors and being like, hey, did you read this book yet? Hey, I have an offer on this book. Did you read it yet? And just like being a total pest. So like, we get it. We're not going to be mad, and you're not going to go to the book jail that Adam mentioned.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it all does, everything comes down to just be cool. Yeah. Just if it's bad news, take it cool. Take all your, you know, if you got some uncool slots, take it to your spouse, your friends, or whatever. Yeah, like, but yeah, I think just like really keep it profesh there.
Yeah, it's a word that we hear a lot at our conferences and programs is just keep it professional. Mm-hmm. Another question here, again, for Eric, this one's specifically for you. When you received this, do you expect all books that you accept will need some level of revision? And is it generally a lot or a little? And then following up to that, how do you help the authors through the process? And then we'll feed from that into how you two work together.
Yeah. I mean, I do expect the books aren't going to be perfect when they come in. Like there's probably going to be a couple of things we need to polish. Maybe there's a chapter that doesn't end as strong or one character whose arc needs to be fixed up a little bit. Like that's normal. And yeah, totally. I'll give them plenty of notes. We'll go back and forth. We'll talk about it. But that tends to be it. You know, it's a little bit of a revision. I know some agents who do like giant like in-depth developmental edit revisions. Some can do that. I can't due to, I don't know, you hear my child squealing right now? That's why I can't do that. So yeah, I edit to sell. That's the thing that I mentioned earlier, where it has to be just enough edits where I can just polish it up, and then off it can go, right? It can't be, I can't do months of back and forth.
Well, again, feeding off of revisions. So when Surrender Your Sons, when Eric, you took on Adam as a client and then you had your preliminary talk and immediately got into revisions, how much work was there to do? And then Adam, I want you to follow up that with, how did that feel once you finally had the high of, I've got the agent, and then, oh wait, but here's all this work I need to do.
Interesting question, because I don't remember. I don't remember the edits that we did on the book. I feel like they weren't intense.
We were, you signed me, I remember this all like the back of my hand. It's you gave me the offer call like March 31st, April 9th, you signed me, April 12th you gave me the edit letter, and April 15th we were on sub. Like, it was very quickly. I think it was one of those things where all of those edits came before I queried from his previous rejection. So it was, I think, you know, and other folks, like, it was one of those things where I think the more you refine as an author, I would say please just refine it yourself. That's, it's such a better experience if you do it that way. There are some agents who, yeah, will take you on to be very editorial, but like, you are doing yourself the biggest fee. We'll have the smoothest ride, most likely, if you do all that revision work yourself up front. Because then you, it was like, when I got signed, it was like, get signed, some polishes. It was like removing certain lines. It was very much, like he said, polish. And then we were off to the races, and then it was another year. So it's like, again, it's like, do all of that work now, because like, when you get on sub, it could be a while. So.
And like, I'm looking at like some other clients on my shelf right now to like try to think about like deeper edits that I did. And like, it feels like for the most part, like some of the authors who I did ask for edits that were a little bit bigger, it was always just me wanting to see stuff a little bit more. Like, I'm a big sensory image person when it comes to the writing that I like to write myself and that I like to work on. So it's always lots of like, show me this, show me this, show me this, show me this. Which is, I hope, a little bit helpful when it comes to the kind of sci-fi and fantasy stuff that I work on.
Curious, and I know it's going to vary from writer to writer, but with this particular one, if you were to just guess, how many times did you read through this book from the time you first were reading it on submission to the time it was finally out of your hands?
Maybe.
We did two R&Rs on sub, so where it went through.
Like four or five times, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, because I read it when he sent it to me, and then when I signed him, I read it again to find things to polish up. Oh, boy. And then the book came out, and I read it then, you know. So.
Yeah, and R&Rs are like, when you're on sub, it's a revise and resend. So you normally, that's when a publisher or an editor really likes what you've got going on, but they'll need to see you fix a few certain things before they reconsider it.
Yeah,
and both our R&Rs were passes in the end, but it did create, but it did continue to push the book forward.
Yeah. Well, your relationship started at what could be an inopportune time, as this program, you know, is here because of the pandemic. Adam, you know, I know I've talked to you before about having a book come out during a pandemic and how it sort of dulled it a little bit for you because it's your debut book and you didn't get to do the big tour in the bookstores and everything like that. But I'm curious, from an industry standpoint, how the pandemic affected like you, Eric, managing this, and then Adam, you know, you can talk a little bit more about being an author in this case.
Yeah, and like on my side of things, when it came to managing clients during the pandemic, it was a lot of like, I know these things are disappointing, but let's talk about the bright side of everything. And the bright side of publishing is that books have a long life, you know, like, it might not hit like lightning right out of the gate the way it might if we weren't in a pandemic and you were doing book tours and big events and everything like that. But librarians remember, you know, they're going to remember that book. They're going to remember all those starred reviews. and books continue well past all the buzz that happens in person and on social media, you know? So it was lots of trying to refocus my clients to think about that stuff and to think about the future and the next books. And with Adam, the future is very bright with 99 Boyfriends coming.
Which that was something. That was definitely something that kind of came to me in the middle of all of this. And I was not quite sure because it's a romantic comedy. And I was like, I can't really go from this very troubled story to, this really candy cane story. And I don't know, Eric's just, again, sort of this divining rod sort of knew this was the pen and that ended up being the way. And, and Eric, what you said before about books having a long life, we're seeing that happen, right? If anybody's following what's going on with They Both Die at the End, it's having a very explosive renaissance. So in paperback. So it's things happen, people are rediscovering Proxy by Alex London, because that topic that he wrote about, this sort of debt, is sort of, it's people are talking about it now. Like, it's one of these things where it's for whatever reason, a lot of this is just out of your hands.
That's you mentioned that, Adam, because that's another thing you talk to authors about in these weird times, and also just in general when it comes to publishing and being a writer, is to focus on the things you can control sometimes, and that applies to my life and my agenting place as well, telling my authors we're gonna focus on something else right now. I'm gonna go pitch your book a bunch to Hollywood and TV people, because that's something that's still going on. We're gonna go aggressively with your audiobook rights. There are other things to keep pushing. It's it doesn't stop when the book comes out.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, saving your energy. We keep talking about energy, save that for when it's out. Cause I mean, for you, if you're on social media, there seems to be a lot of pizzazz around your launch and, everyone buzzing about it and authors who are instant New York Times bestsellers, a lot of folks are not. It can kind of create this reality that's maybe not as, it's not correct. That can be one of the hardest things for authors to really struggle with, is just sort of all the many different ways. So Kayla Brerig, another author, a mutual friend of ours, we always talk about that movie, it's a documentary, is called 20 Feet from Stardom, with these about the backup singers, the greatest backup singers, in history. And it seems to be if you're not this absolute number one, wherever, people who are backup singers, they're fine. They're very rich, do not worry. There's many ways to, there are many ways to have a career in this business, and it looks like a million different things. It probably is, it's not likely going to look like this superstar thing. But I think the important thing is to just kind of redirect your thoughts to there's absolutely a way to subsist with this as a career and be very, very, very satisfied.
Yeah. All right, we're getting close to the end of time here. I have a question here. And Don, while I'm reading this question, I was wondering if you could throw in there, I want to make sure I understand the context, if the writer already has an agent or if the writer does not have an agent, but I'll go ahead and read the question anyway. Her question is there any issue with pitching to a major publishing house editor or assistant editor at conferences specifically? Do agents mind that if unsuccessful? Okay, so no, you don't already have the agent, you're seeking one.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, if the opportunity is there for you to pitch somebody at a major house and they're not gonna need you to have an agent, go for it. It's totally fine. Chances are, if they do sign you, which would be fantastic, they're going to tell you to go get an agent, and it'll be fine, because you're going to be the one author who's like, hey, I have an offer for my book from HarperCollins and I need an agent, and someone's going to come scoop you up really quick. Just make sure you have smart conversations with that agent and that they're not in it just to get your money, and that they're invested in your career after that book. But a lot of those conferences where you're able to pitch to an editor in person your book, sometimes they're not able to do anything and they're just going to say like, oh, this sounds really interesting. Send it to me when you have an agent. So just be aware of that.
So if they do have an agent and they're at a conference talking to an editor, they should preface to that editor, I have this agent, here it is, this is the person, and that editor would probably want to work through the agent then.
I guess, I don't know, that'd be weird
for me. It would be, I'm just asking.
So like, yeah, if you're in the position where you have an agent, and you go to a conference and you bump into an editor and you're just making small talk and you're like, oh, you know, I'm working on this book, maybe you want to check it out, like, that's fine. Yeah. Go for it. But like, if you're going to a conference as an author and you're booking pitching sessions and you have an agent and you're talking to editors, that's weird. You don't want to do that.
All right, cool.
So yeah, Eric, I'm very looking forward to being like, Eric, so I sold this book. So can you just draft an email? Yeah. yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think also another thing to like kind of, this is probably for people who have not quite entered into that agent querying process yet, but I think, there's a lot of talk of like gatekeepers, sort of a scary word. And a lot of, you know, folks, I think sometimes, you know, it's fine to not have an agent. It's not like you have to. Sometimes you do, but most of the time you do, I think. But I would think of it less as, oh, you have to go through this channel and you have to do it and all that. I see it more of I wouldn't want to do this without an agent. Like, this is so big. It's like Frodo and the ring. Like, you just need like a Gandalf like to like help you like put everything into context, because you're there doing this one task, but like your brain will lie to you and will start saying like, oh, you need to do this and this and that, and maybe you'll be correct. A lot of times it's your anxiety pulling you in these negative directions that are not helping you or the book. So you do need, and especially someone like Eric, who is a grounding presence, who says, yeah, worry about this, I wouldn't worry about that. Or, hey, here's a series of expectations. Sort of some type of positive force in your life, because this is a very long journey full of doubt, unless you are one of these like machines who's like, loves it and doesn't have doubt. If you have ever had any doubts, or if you have any like nervousness about this, like the agent is like is getting like such an invaluable partner in this, because it's not just like needing someone to talk to, even though that's a big piece of it. A lot of it is just advice. It's like going to a CPA to do your taxes. Like, you just like, it's so overwhelming and big. Like, you just, it's invaluable. So it's worth it to go through that process first.
And I have one more question, but we're kind of out of time here. And also, Adam just referred to you as Gandalf, so I really don't know that we can go anywhere else with that.
Yay.
I think we've reached the peak there. So, thank you both for your time and for answering questions for everybody. I have dropped plenty of follow links on there for social media, and you can go visit Adam's website at adamsassbooks.com, Eric's website at ericsmithrocks.com, and I think most of your handles are also Eric Smith Rocks, which I'm curious, where did that come from?
I used to be a touring music photographer.
Touring music photographer, that's a career. Yeah.
Eric Smith Rocks was the music blog, and that's it, stuck with it.
I like it.
Almost famous.
But anyway, all right, well, thank you both, and I really appreciate your time, and this was a great conversation, and I highly encourage you to connect with both Eric and Adam on social media and fire questions at them endlessly, because I'm gathering they're going to answer them. So
if I didn't get to your questions here, I see some came through. You have, my DMs are open. I will get to them in time, but you feel free to send those my way if you have a specific one.
Thank you. That's all I have. So thank you all for being here, and have a good night.
Bye.